And all of God's people said, amen, amen. While in college one summer, I had the opportunity of spending a foreign study in Seville, Spain. And the goal was to better communicate, or at least to begin communicating in Spanish. And I lived with an elderly couple. The senora there, she had a habit of speaking very fast. And so I asked her, ¿Puede hablar más despacio? Can you speak more slowly, por favor? And what she did was she would speak really, really fast, and then she'd pause, and then she'd speak really, really fast again. Wouldn't help me out there. So it was frustrating. There was this communication barrier, and there's this living in a foreign land and just missing home. And so about one of those days when I was just down, I got a letter from my grandma, who turns 96 this week. And I remember her writing in that letter how she used to write letters to my grandfather when he was in service. She shared words of encouragement. She was proud I was over there studying to learn Spanish. And as always, words of love. Your grandma's got to tell you she loves you. While living in a foreign land, dealing with some of the challenges of missing home, it was nice to get a letter from home. How many of y'all have found yourself ever been in a foreign land and you get a letter from home? Maybe living away after high school and you moved to a different city, things are different there, or you've been in the service, you've lived overseas, or even in college can feel like a foreign land. It's just not home. And you get a letter and it warms your heart. Today we're going to read and hear a letter sent to some folks who are living in a foreign land, and they needed to hear some words of encouragement. They needed to get some practical wisdom for their lives. They needed to hear some words of hope. And if you have your Bible, I invite you to read along with me. We'll be looking at Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 14. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother and the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, and whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. This is what the letter said. This is what the Lord Almighty, God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets or diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So we have this letter here. This is sent from the prophet Jeremiah to the Israelites. They've been carried off into exile, into Babylon. They find themselves living here in this foreign land. And so the prophet Jeremiah shares these words from God with them. You see, specifically in verses 5 and 6, these commands: build houses, plant gardens, marry, have children, settle down. And if you look ahead in verse 10, it says that God's telling them, you're going to be there in exile for 70 years. In other words, it's going to be a while that you're going to be there. So why not make the most of this situation you find yourself in? Jeremiah might as well have said, look, folks, it is what it is. You're in this foreign land. You're going to be there a while, so settle down. Live your life. So if they were to follow these commands and build houses and plant gardens and start families, then it would be a sign showing that they trust God. They trust God's wisdom, this advice that he's given them. And at the same time, they're acknowledging that God will be present with them while they are in exile on a day-to-day basis. I'm reminded of a movie I once saw, The Terminal. The main character, played by Tom Hanks, is named Victor, and he's from some country in Eastern Europe, and so he's flying from there. In the midst of his flight, his country goes into civil war and is no longer recognized by the United States. So when he arrives at JFK Airport, they take his passport. So he's basically stuck. He can't go home. He can't go into America with no passport. So he's there with no English skills, with no money, and so he builds a house, or really he builds a little area where he can live in the terminal. He gets a job, makes a little bit of money. He makes friends. He makes the best of a bad situation. That's what God was commanding the Israelites to make the best of Babylon, that situation they found themselves in. Have you ever found yourself in exile? I'd be the first to say, you know, when we moved to Alabama as missionaries and we were working in real, real poor community, there were many, many days I felt like I was in exile there. But I'm not talking about a specific place. I'm thinking maybe more our exile could be a situation that we find ourselves in, where we're just counting down those 70 years until it's over. It could be feeling like that we might be stuck in a job, and we're counting down the days or months until retirement. Or it could be for many of us that we're stuck at school. How many students and teachers know how many days you have left until summer vacation? It could be our exile as we found ourselves with a health challenge, and you've got a round of tests or surgeries or procedures or recovery, and you don't know when you're going to see a light at the end of the tunnel, and you found yourself there in exile. And so the point here is that sometimes we find ourselves in this foreign situation where we're looking ahead to better days, that we miss out on the present. We miss out on the promise that God is here with us each and every day and what he's got for us. And so he tells us during those times to build houses, to plant gardens, to start families, to make the best of your situation. God promises his presence with us even while we are in exile. And as a sign, he tells us to build houses, to plant gardens. What do we need to build? What do we need to plant? Perhaps one thing that we can begin to do when we find ourselves in these situations, we can build and plant relationships, both as individuals and as a church family. Whatever we find ourselves going through, there's folks out there who've been through that same situation that if we reach out to them, they can help us go through what we're going to have to deal with. Or there's people that we can befriend that are strong in their faith, that can encourage us, that can pray for us. As a church, we can be intentional about the ministries that we start and begin and to encourage, to build, and to plant relationships. To build something requires a plan. It requires materials, resources, the skills to build, the time to build. To plant, we need to sow the seed, to tend the area, to water, to carefully nurture the plant so that it will encourage growth. What do we need to build and plant? Sometimes we're reluctant to settle down in exile is because we don't like Babylon or that situation that we find ourselves in. What does God say to this? You see in verse 7, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. If it prospers, you prosper." Pray for Babylon. Pray for the people who came and conquered your nation, who took you out of your home and drug you to this foreign land. Pray for these people. That's hard to imagine, but we've heard this same idea told to us by Jesus. Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Paul encourages this same thought, 1 Timothy 2:1-2, "I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." In exile, if we find ourselves having a hard time with our boss, a coworker, a teacher, you fill in the blank. God's telling us to pray for them. Pray for Babylon and those in Babylon. Jeremiah also says, don't listen to the false prophets. You see that in verses 8 and 9. These false prophets were telling telling the Israelites that you're not going to be in exile 70 years. You'll be going home soon. I would listen to them. Good news is easier to hear than bad news. Y'all know I love to run. About 5 or 6 years ago, I decided to run a marathon. Now, I'm used to running maybe a half mile or mile, maybe 3 to 4 miles at the most. So a marathon being 26.2 miles was a long distance. And so I didn't like running long distances. And I found a training plan that said all you have to do is run 17 miles as your longest run, and you'll be ready to run the marathon. I said, sign me up. I did the training plan, and in 4 months, I went and I ran the marathon. It went great for 17 miles. Those last 9 miles, they hurt. Sometimes when we're in exile, we're there for the entire marathon. But we're quick to jump on voices that says, here's a shortcut. It's only going to be 17 miles. Or you don't have to endure the whole thing if you just listen to these voices. God, through Jeremiah, says, beware of those false voices. What false voices are we listening to in our lives? Sometimes they're our own. I don't know how many times I've told myself when I find myself in a difficult situation, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do on your own will to get out of this situation. But in reality, as Christians, the only voice we really need to listen to is God's. We see in verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and to not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God knows the plans for us. The plans for us to prosper. The plans to not harm us. The plans to give us hope. The plans to give us a future. And then right after that verse where God's promised these plans, there's this word, "then." It points to a time in the future in 70 years when the Israelites will be returned from exile back to Jerusalem. But there's some translations that don't include the "then." This idea that it's not a future that God's going to show up in 70 years, but that God is there with the Israelites in exile in the present. So when we find ourselves in those difficult situations, we can take comfort knowing that it's not going to be that light at the end of the tunnel when God's going to show up, but that God is there with us. God has the plans for us each and every day. And so as disciples, we're to make the best of our Babylon. If we find ourselves stuck in exile, in a place, in a situation, a challenge that's difficult, know that God is with you. Know that God has plans for you and that God is working daily in your lives. So we place our trust in God by building, by planting, by praying for those in and around us in those exile situations. And as we strive to make the best of our situations, may we take to heart these words from God. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Will you pray with me? God, you know the situation that each person is in today. You know the struggles that we have faced, perhaps the struggles that we're going to face, Lord. You know whether or not we feel like we're stuck in exile. And I thank you for the promise of your word that you have plans for us, that you want us to prosper, that you want to give us a future, and that you want to give us hope. I pray for each person here, God, no matter what they're going through, that you will meet them there in their difficult situation. And God, I thank you for those times when things are going great and the blessings of life when and you have blessed us with family and church and friends, and we thank you for those. I pray, God, that we'll just lean on you and trust in you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.